Please join me in prayer. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. It has been said that many people see their lives through the lenses of nostalgia, resignation, and fear. I made a reference to this a couple of weeks ago when I said that many people are looking for the good old days to come back. I'm not positive that the good old days are as good as we remember. We pretty much had the same problems we have today. When it comes to the present, there seems to be a general feeling of resignation among many people. We tend to feel very uneasy about the future. What's going to happen in the Middle East? Will Iran acquire nuclear weapons, or do they already have them? And how about this show of power on the part of North Korea? Will it lead to a nuclear war? On a more personal level, is my job safe? How will my children and grandchildren survive this time of moral decay? There is also, as I referred to last Wednesday when most of us were snowed in, some understandable distress among the people of St. Mark. Many of our founding members and others who have joined us are growing older. How long do I have? You may be thinking. What health problem will I have in the future? Will I be able to deal with health issues I have now? These kind of issues are real, and they bring stress, and they tend to bring a negative outlook, not only to those who are afflicted, but to the family and friends who care about them. John the Baptist, a cousin of Jesus, brought a message from God that there were greater things to come. There was hope because the Savior who had been promised, God had sent. Unfortunately, the Savior was not quite what the people were looking for. He was not like some politician who promised all sorts of things if he was elected. He offered something much more important. He offered reconciliation with God the Father. Now, most or all of you may believe that, but the world in general does not believe that. The world believes that it's sufficient just to acknowledge the existence of God and everything will be all right in the end. That is not true, and that viewpoint is dangerous. It can lead a person straight to hell. Jesus Christ himself said this, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." There is a big gap between just believing that God exists and knowing the Lord and his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's the latter that leads to eternal life. The New Testament writer James, who was probably the brother of Jesus, attempts to set people straight with his words recorded in James 2:19. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Since the fall into sin by the disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, our relationship with God has been broken. Instead of being holy as it was created, our human nature is sinful. And our heart is the source of sin and corruption. Jesus himself said, "What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person." And then he went on to give many, many examples, including evil thoughts, murder, adultery, and a lot of other things. And one does not have to look far to see how this has had a growing effect on the downward spiral of things in the world. Where in the world are things going well these days? You don't have to look further than your local newspaper to confirm the dreadful effect sin has had on this world. Its effects are easily seen. Ill health, loneliness, broken relationships, suffering, theft, immorality, brutality, desertion, abuse, and a whole lot of other things. We all experience some of these things. They may be the result of our sin, or the sin of others, or simply the result of living in a sinful and dying world. It was this way 2,000 years ago. It's that way today, and it's going to be that way tomorrow until the Lord returns again. Why doesn't God do something about this? I've heard people ask that question. The answer is, he has. He promised to Adam and Eve and to future generations that he would send a Savior to atone for sin and rescue us. God called patriarchs like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to carry the promise that he had given from one generation to another. He sent prophets, men like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Micah, to prepare people for the coming of a Savior. And that's not all. He gave very specific information ahead of time about this Savior to come. And Jesus Christ came, and he has fulfilled dozens and dozens of prophecies. There is overwhelming evidence that God indeed is active in the history of this world, but he has his own timetable. And in our gospel text this morning, we find that God sent another person, John the Baptist. And like many others, John had a divine mission. He was sent to, quote, bear witness about the light. John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he baptized people in the Jordan River, and crowds of people came to be baptized by him. The Bible tells us that Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region were going out to see John, and they were baptized by him in the river, confessing their sins. His message was not to draw attention to himself, but to draw attention to Jesus. John came to bear witness that the light of the world was here. John was a forerunner of the things to come. It's interesting to note that this was such an important occasion that all four Gospels have an account of John's ministry and message. It's really sort of a forward to what was going to follow after the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the proclamation that He was the Savior of the world. Jesus is the one who God promised to redeem fallen mankind. Well, John the Baptist is gone. He's long gone. Most of you probably know the story. He was beheaded. Don't be concerned about him. He has it better off than anyone on earth today. And God wants us focusing on the future and His promises. We're told in 1 Corinthians, no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things have been revealed to us through the Spirit. Yes, people, greater things are coming. Greater things were coming in the day of John, and greater things are coming in our future also. John the Baptist was sent by God to preach repentance and tell people that the kingdom was at hand and theirs for the taking. But with John gone, who has God sent today? It's a much bigger world, isn't it? And it's in a downward spiral. And many people are without hope or beginning to lose hope. And there is a short window of life on earth in which people can receive God's kingdom. But who is going to tell them? You know the answer to that, don't you? Jesus has sent the church of Jesus Christ to tell them. We have the same mission as John. St. Mark has the same mission as John. Through proclaiming God's word, we call people to repentance. It is our job to find those who are without faith, without hope, and without a church. To those who are afraid to die and come face to face with a holy and righteous God, we can bring comfort. We can share with them Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What wonderful words of comfort those are. For those facing uncertain times, God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. For those whose burdens are so heavy, they wonder whether they can go on, let us share the words from Psalm 55. Cast your burden on the Lord, for He will sustain you. One more week, and we celebrate Christmas. God has been faithful to us. Let us be faithful to Him. Are you willing to find, are you willing to ask at least one neighbor, one friend or relative, one family that has moved in your area in the past year, and invite them to worship God at your church this Christmas? Surveys of the non-church show that way over a majority of those who are non-church would visit a church if someone would ask them. Are you willing to be that someone for Jesus' sake? May the Holy Spirit guide us to share the good news with others. Amen.